Lagos. I think I've said hello, Lagos, multiple times already. Anyway, I am back. I am back. Emmanuel is here. We are here to bring you Digital Life. You know how we do it every Sunday, 11 a.m. to 12 noon. We bring you conversations from the world of technology, and we do that to make sure that, you know, you stay abreast of what is happening in the world so that the world doesn't just pass you by. So that technology doesn't just, you know, sweep you away. So that you have control. And as I said earlier, I'm not doing this alone. I have Emmanuel with me in the studio.
Hi, Lagos. Good morning. How are you doing today? It's a very good day, but it's a very good day.
Emmanuel is under the weather right now. I hope he gets on top of it soon. But he's not feeling his best today. He was even going to skip the show. I don't know why he brought his coconut head here.
No, the show has to go on.
I was hoping that he'd, you know, take a rest, you know, just relax and let me handle it. But Emmanuel being Emmanuel showed up. Emmanuel, welcome to the show, and I hope you feel better soon. Okay,
you're sounding like I'm a guest on the show.
Yes, now because you were supposed to be at home resting, but you chose to come. So yes, you are my guest.
Lagos, we don't only bring you tech conversation; we also bring you innovation, indigenous innovation on the show Digital Life, and we're going to be doing all that today. We have a wonderful person lined up, a wonderful innovator lined up for the show. In the second segment today. But first of all, we're going to continue with our conversation on cryptocurrencies.
That's right. We started this conversation two Sundays ago. The first Sunday we had this conversation, this roof almost fell down.
Please,
Anyway. So last Sunday, because the first Sunday, somebody came and said, stay away from every other cryptocurrency except Bitcoin. Every other cryptocurrency is trash. So we had somebody else come on the show last Sunday to tell us that no, not really. It's not that all other cryptocurrencies are trash. It's just that Bitcoin has made a name for itself. So Bitcoin is just standing on its own. But there are other currencies, cryptocurrencies that are also doing well. We had that conversation last week as well.
Remember, you can always go back to our podcast. Just go on your Google and search Digital Life Nigeria Info, and you can listen to that conversation over and over again.
That's right. Anyway, this Sunday we are going to be talking about wallet security, right? Which, Emmanuel, by the way, reminds me of that man that called and said that he had money in his wallet, but the money he didn't know how to use it, or whether the money was just there, but it wasn't, you know. Anyway,
he wasn't seeing the money.
Maybe it was invisible Ogbanje money. Like, maybe it was Ogbanje money.
Yeah, give me my money. He didn't know how to spend it, you know, and he was just stuck, and he thought he was defrauded or frauded.
Maybe the money was just doing him, now you see me, now you don't.
Yeah. You know, I had a conversation with someone last week who spoke about that, how we put the money in the wallet, and then the next thing, the money is out of the wallet, and he can track the transaction. He can see the money moving, and then the money keeps moving, and then you can't stop it. You can't bring the money back to your wallet. The money is gone.
Look, Lagos, if no be juju be that, I don't know where TB. But thankfully, we have an expert here in the studio with us to tell us about that. And we have another person, by the way, who is the same person we had last week, to share his experience with us. We heard that the fabbed his money.
How would you be a blockchain expert and they took your money?
Lagos, you have to listen to this show, because when he told Emmanuel that, that was how they stole his cryptocurrencies. I said, what?
Well, we have the perfect lineup of persons, you know, to do justice to this conversation right here. We had somebody who had experienced it, and we had an expert who is currently into cybersecurity, you know, with a focus on crypto and the blockchain technology.
That's right. So, before we get into the conversation, Emmanuel, do you have a wallet?
I have a wallet. Yes, I do have a wallet.
Okay, so much do you even have in that wallet first? Before I ask you whether your wallet is safe.
Let's say about 5,000 sats, maybe. Yeah,
that's like 100 naira.
Oh Jesus Christ!
I'm just asking.
Calm down. You don't do it like that.
Okay,
don't expose me outside.
You're broke. Your wallet is broke. Is that what you're saying? Bye-bye. If you are broke in cryptocurrency, just say you are broke. Anyway, Etienne Okeke, who is a lecturer, Africa Blockchain Institute, Rwanda. He was here last Sunday. He's here with us again this Sunday. And he's the one whose wallet was allegedly...
You have to use allegedly. Somebody's
alleged,
crying,
because he will tell us now. Wait, now he will tell us himself. Now, as journalists, we cannot.
Okay.
We have to let the horse speak. I'm sorry, Etienne, you're not a horse, okay? But we have to hear from the horse's mouth. So according to him, his wallet was allegedly, what's the word now? Imana, tell me now.
I don't know.
Okay,
move,
ATM.
He moved his wallet.
You know, when you're from Alcott, they move your things. Like, they just obtain you like that. We also have someone.
That's right. Jude Ozienegbe.
Ozienegbe.
No. Jude, how do you pronounce it?
Potato, they are both good.
No.
He's a Benin man.
That's
why. Benin, right?
Yeah. So it's Ozienegbe. Why are you asking? Right? Why are you answering for him? He's his son. That's why I wanted him to speak.
Okay.
Please, how do you pronounce it?
The N in Ozienegbe, the N is silent, so it's Ozienegbe.
Ozienegbe.
What did I say?
Wait.
But to accommodate everyone, even if you say Ozienegbe, it's still fine.
So here's why, right? When I said Ozienegbe, it just occurred to me that, no, this is not Ozienegbe, this is Ozienegbe. This is Esan. So I wanted, no, on a serious note, so I wanted to ask him before you now
he
jumped
said
in.
It to,
before
they you now, said before, to accommodate Imane, you. Imane, you before, are accommodated.
It's a lie. Imane, before you now jumped, you now went and put the cat before the horse. You now jumped.
Anyway, the cat will still move.
It's a lie. The cat cannot move without the horse. Anyway. Anyway, Ozienegbe, thank you so much for joining us. By the way, what part of Edo State are you from?
Esan, Opoji.
There's a family reunion going on.
I'm from Idumabi.
Oh wow.
Yeah, very close. My grandma was from Ugbegun.
Oh.
And then of course, Opoji used I know someone in Opoji. In fact, my father's, you know, his mistress that time. I'm just saying. So when he said Opoji, he just struck a nerve. Then. The good kind of nerve, the pleasant nerve.
You're trying to tell us about your breakfast though.
Amy, breakfast. No, darling, I don't receive breakfast. I do the survey.
Oh, so let's get into the show.
That's right.
First of all, let's understand what a crypto wallet is. I think Ozienegbe, you start first. Go first.
Before Uncle, I ain't be the expert. Now, this one's wallet was hacked. So he has to know.
Has collected today.
Etienne, right. I'm so sorry, but I'm not going to let this one slide.
All right, so let's hear from you.
Okay, good morning, Lagos. Thanks, Yvonne and Emmanuel, for having us here.
Thank you so much
once
for coming.
Again, my name is Jude Ozienegbe. So briefly this morning I'll be talking about wallet security. So to understand what
So you can move your mic, you know, so I can capture your voice.
Oh, okay.
Very well. Okay.
It's good now.
Yes.
Oh, great. Thank you. So basically a wallet, so let's say a digital wallet, so that we understand the difference between a digital wallet and a physical wallet. So let me use the physical wallet, which I think every one of us understand, whether it's male or female. So is that small piece of leather or fiber, rubber, whatever, that you put your money in, your business cards, your ATM cards, and all of that. That's the physical one. So it holds your paper money, which is what we call fiat. Now, in the digital world, we have what they call a wallet as well, but it's a digital wallet. It's not something you can feel with your hand. Yes, it's a virtual kind of wallet. So in that same digital wallet, you can have your digital assets. Now, digital asset goes beyond digital currencies. So you can have your digital identity in that wallet. You can have your digital documents in that wallet. And you can now have your digital currency, which is the money you spend, in that same wallet. So that's the basic definition of a wallet.
So there are so many scenarios. We've had many people come online and say, oh, my wallet was hacked. We have a very clear example here.
No, we do not. We've not even let the example speak. Etienne, please tell us what happened. How on God's green earth did a crypto expert, I'm not trying to shade
calm
you
down.
I just want to understand how on God's green earth did that happen? What happened? So just share your experience with us.
It's like saying that how on God's green egg was Access Bank hacked?
I know. I should calm down. But seriously.
From 0 to 100.
No. Because I find it very, you know, I find it strange. I mean, it's happening to somebody like me now. I'd know, okay, maybe I didn't quite, you know.
Understand it.
But an agbalagba in the cryptocurrency. No, but that just goes to show. That anybody can be hacked. You know, that any company, any agency can be hacked. So tell us what happened.
Okay, so good morning, Lagos. Good morning, Nigeria. I don't know how it goes, but...
We're global.
Okay, cool. So nice again to be here, right, to talk about crypto. I think talking about crypto, educating crypto is like my weak point. So whenever you talk about it, I show up. So Okay, so just like I asked, right, how do banks get hacked? How do very prestigious organizations, Binance almost got, like Binance got hacked to some point.
Yeah, that's right.
But you also find some very old school guys. I know some platforms that when they're under attack, I know, right? Mm-hmm. I know those kind of things. So nobody's above hack. In fact, the more experienced you are, the deeper into it, the more exposure you have. The more risk you have.
The more vulnerable you become.
I don't know whether you are more vulnerable, but the more exposed.
So hacking,
like,
right?
Yeah, the more attention people will pay to you, right?
Okay.
So the number of hacks Binance suffer or attempted hacks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Binance top far is like second to none. And people who are trying to hack you now are not just like some immature in Yaba or these are people who have coded for like
30
years. The guy has been writing code for 12 hours every day for 30 years. So he himself is an institution of writing code, right? So when he comes for you, you know he comes for you and it's bloody.
So what happened to you?
So back then, what I would tell you is that there are different stages to this, or there are different phases to this, right? There's a phase where you try to understand what the cryptocurrency and the blockchain is. There's a phase where you try to understand what to buy, what to sell, how to position yourself in the market. Then there's a phase where you have bought what you have bought and you want to keep it, right? It's also the same thing like in business. There's a phase where you are trying to find out an idea, build a business, build your team. Then you move from, okay, starting off the business, lifting it, launching the business or your product or whatever. Then you now make the money, you raise money or whatever. Then you now make the money, then you begin to think about how to keep it, how to sustain business and all that. So I was hacked sometime in January 2019. So I raised some money from family, friends, the work I do. I was working for a company then, a Swedish company. They paid me like, let me say like $100 daily or something. So after working for some time, I raised money from my mom. I got more money from my elder sister. Like, I mean, hundreds of thousands right now, right? So I bought...
Of Naira or dollars?
Naira.
Okay.
So I bought Ethereum. A huge chunk of Ethereum, because Ethereum was at $86 per piece then.
Okay.
So I knew that there would be someday Ethereum will get to 4,000, Ethereum will be at 1,500, Ethereum will be at 1,000. So it was like a golden opportunity for me. So that was why I took the risk to accumulate as much as I could, right? From where I could easily get money from family and friends and all that. So I accumulated that, and I was very happy with myself. So
there is proud, like that sense of satisfaction and accomplishment.
Exactly, because I knew that I'm going to pay off my debts.
So how much worth of Ethereum did you buy at the time?
I'd rather not say.
you see that when you say it, your heart will just drop all over again, or the amount will make the station shut down.
So there were a couple of Ethereum there. Then I also had some other coins like Tron, Cardano, all those kind of stuff. So but my major, like 90% of my portfolio was Ethereum, and like I focused more on Ethereum. Like I said, right, I'm a businessman. I don't believe my intestine is tied to Bitcoin or Ethereum. But I believe in crypto.
I like to diversify.
I believe in blockchain and I believe in cryptocurrency. Right? And I believe that the technology is there and it exists.
Okay.
Right. And Bitcoin has shown us that. Okay, back to my story. So I did some transactions also around then. A couple of my friends sent me money to buy up Ethereum for them, like serious money to buy Ethereum for them and all that. So my wallet was pretty busy. And also because of the kind of work I do, I roam around the internet a lot at that point. So interacting with a lot of blockchain, crypto sites, blockchain protocols and all those kind of things. So I formed this habit, like before I start work in the morning, I usually open my wallet and I look at
just
my
balance. Just to look at it and smile. I mean, you do that when you have money in your account. You have like...
Focus that way. Focus that way. I know where you're coming from.
Imana, you can do it. Imana was just like this. Yes, I'm not broke yet. I'm not broke. I still have money.
5,000.
So... because I formed that habit, so I always come in the morning and I check it. and all that. So one faithful morning, I can't remember what day of
the week. Is that faithful morning?
Is it faithful?
I can't remember what day of the week it was. So I opened my wallet and the next thing I was looking around, I saw my balance, I was happy. You know, these are the kind of things that motivate you to work in the morning. I want to work more so that the white man is going to pay you in dollars and you make more money. Right. So I was not like, okay, it was good. I will not mention the name of the wallet, but it was a kind of, there are different types of wallets, right? Okay. So this kind of wallet, I was using it specifically because of, it stores my private key in my laptop, right? So it's not like Binance. If Binance goes off, you won't have access to your crypto. So if Binance declares insolvent tomorrow, it declares bankruptcy, it has to go through some process for you to pay out the crypto, right? So the kind of wallet I was using was storing my keys, so my coins, inside my laptop. So if you steal my laptop and I don't have a backup of that keys, my money is gone. I was quite aware of that. So it was a fairly expensive laptop of HP. So I think the hacker got to me somehow. Probably I clicked on something, downloaded something, and the malware was in my system. So this malware scouted for my password or passphrase or a cryptocurrency.
Your key.
Yeah.
Oh.
So as I was looking at it that fateful morning, the wallet just did whoop. So when money... So
wait,
you send money out of that
my
wallet.
My goodness, like when he said whoop, my heart skipped. My heart skipped when he said your wallet just did whoop.
No, when you send money out of the wallet, right, the wallet is automated to like, to kind of animate or give you some sense.
Notification.
Like, yeah, so his own notification sound is like make whoop, like something left.
Okay.
So
when, yeah, when you receive money, you hear this
coin sound.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Like money came in, right?
That's the one that's, that gets you very excited.
So that morning I opened it and the next thing the money made whoop. I was like, okay, probably I clicked on a feature. These guys have did an upgrade and the thing is hiding my money somewhere. So I started rigmaroling inside the lap, the wallet, trying to look for my money. But I couldn't find it. I was like, okay, what feature is this that these guys implemented? I went to Twitter and I tried chatting them up, customer care. It was a little bit slow. But I said to myself, okay, why don't I even look for transaction hash or see what I can follow the transaction like, because I can see that there was an out somewhere, right? So I started searching for the out. I saw the money moving from one wallet to another wallet to another wallet to another wallet. So by the time it got to like the seventh wallet, it now went into a mixer. A mixer is a different technology that you use in mixing coins, so you don't know where you...
Oh my goodness. Those people jobbed you. Like, and you, the worst part was you couldn't do anything about it. You saw your money moving, but you could not... It's like, you know, if it were physical, you saw someone rob you, go, this one you could not...
So everything comes with its own pros and cons, right? So one of the things I can tell you is that for the first time in history, I can send money from Nigeria to America and the money is settled instantly, right? When I send money using TransferWise, currently called Wise, for example, or Western Union MoneyGram, the money doesn't leave Nigeria immediately. What happens is that because of the trusted party, Access Bank is trusted. Let me say Access Bank. I don't know why I keep using that.
Leave Access Bank alone. But before you even continue, Jude,
yes,
what do you think happened to his wallet? Because he said that the money went from one wallet. The money left his own. His crypto currencies left his wallet.
And kept
traveled to different wallets.
And then
went into a mixer. So please, just kindly walk us through the process. What do you think the hacker at that point was doing? How did the hacker gain access into his system?
Okay, so there are multiple scenarios actually to gain access to one's device. It could have been from a link on an email or a social media link. So there are shadow social media pages now. So it look like Facebook, for instance.
Adjust the my microphone so that you can speak. Yeah,
okay,
so that, yes.
Thank you. So it will look like probably a social media page, a normal Facebook looking page at the front end. And you may have clicked something like that and tried to log in. So when you do something like that and your page does not log you in immediately and you have to try a second time, probably there's a hacker sitting in between. So that's like a man in the middle attack. perhaps as he's doing that, he's taking his login details to another server, and that way they can gain back access. That's one. It may also be that he saw a picture and he clicked on it. So some of these pictures have embedded scripts behind them. So he may have clicked on something, because for an outsider to gain access into his system, there has to be a window for them to be able to come in.
So he somehow gave them permission,
yes,
to access his account without his knowledge.
Exactly.
Man, that's creepy.
Yeah, so as long as you are online, and the more digital stuff you do online like him, you have more exposure because your digital footprint now becomes wider. You know, so there are many ways they may have targeted him for that breach to have occurred. Now, that's the other level of protection that one needs. The moment you start going online, you need to have some form of maybe a software firewall on your device. There are various ones. Then you can also have, now the antiviruses really cannot protect at that level. So there's internet security that can track botnets. So botnets are like, they are robots that automatically carry out activities on your devices.
Mm.
Which, if your device understands that this is looking strange, it can put a stop to it. Now, some wallet providers also have these anti-botnets that will observe to say, okay, perhaps this activity that is going on this wallet is not a normal looking activity. It may stop it. There are different exchanges, and no one is paying us for adverts, so I will not mention them.
Please don't mention them.
You know, so there are some exchanges that if you are carrying out an activity or a transfer is about going on your wallet, mm-hmm, at a particular time of day, which is not your regular time of transaction, it may put a stop to it and send you a notification. There are some that if the amount is at a figure, it could put a stop to it or pause the transaction and send a notification to you. So those are the second level to protect you against all these things. However, if you are using some of all these other very free wallets that are out there or exchanges, if it just happened like it happened to him and you wake up and see that your wallet has experienced a whoop, you know.
Etienne, so let's backtrack to that time when your wallet experienced many hoops, right? So what did you do after your wallet had been hooped?
Okay, it was one hoop. So
it was a giant hoop that could have been many hoops. Multiple
it's a giant.
Exactly.
The one hoop whooped everything, all the coins.
Oh my goodness! I am so sorry that happened to you. Wait, no. First of all, how did you? What happened to your mental state at that point?
I almost got into panic attack because a huge chunk of the money was like money I've worked for like 3-4 years.
Wow.
Then part of the money was also loan.
Family. Yeah.
Like family and friends. Right. So part of the money was loan. So it was like, okay, it was clear to me that I have to find out what happened. Probably it wasn't still a hack, mm-hmm, right?
So you were still in denial at that point. You didn't want to accept.
Badly denial. So mm-hmm, I had to contact customer support.
Mm-hmm.
So the wallet guys, I can't remember what country it is right now. So the guy asked me for a certain file. So I did an extract of my wallet history into a certain file format, and I emailed it to him. So he looked at it and told me that, okay, this appears to look like a hack and your money was actually moved. If it wasn't you, then somebody must have moved the money. So he said that, okay, remain in contact with us so we could actually ascertain the gravity and learn from what happened. Right, but I was too much pissed that I couldn't just like, why should I hang
around? They wanted to learn from you, from your experience.
So yes. So that's what usually happens, right? So a lot of these cybersecurity guys or security guys, generally in companies, whenever they are hacked, they want to learn about the scenarios. They like to dig deep.
Instead of giving you time to mourn the money that has left your account, they're telling you to remain.
So no, he wasn't like explicitly saying that, right? Because I just understood that that was what he was saying. So it helps them to learn to the build better next time, right? So, but I wasn't in that state of mind to offer that help, and I just ended the communication. I didn't reply to their emails again and all that. So what I just did was that I knew from there that I have to start from scratch. I have to build from zero again. Then I started building from zero.
Okay. Did you maintain the same wallet?
No.
Okay, dude, let's get to you now. Do you think there's any possibility that he would have been able to recover that coin? Should he have continued with that communication?
At the point where his digital asset got into the mixer, it becomes very difficult. It's perhaps a bit possible, but it will take a very long time because it's just like your normal blender. So you put pepper, tomato, and everything there, and you
blend. Is that not impossible? You can't get
the same thing out. That's why recently the U.S. Department of Treasury banned one mixer, Tornado. So what these guys do is crypto come from all sorts and everywhere, and they blend it, they mix it together, and send out. So perhaps Bitcoin comes in there. They blend it, and maybe a little piece of Ethereum goes out, a little piece of Monero, a little piece. So when they scatter it that way, you can't trace the Bitcoin that came in outside. You know, so at that point, it becomes a little bit quite difficult. Research is still going on into the ability to trace what comes out of a blended or a mixed crypto. It's a challenge of a digital economy because these are new challenges we are seeing in this space. However, before it gets to that point, and no need to cry over spilled milk, and that's the experience that we all, even our listeners, have to learn from. Going forward, what we'll say is protect your wallet with extra layer of security. So when someone, an unscrupulous person, gains access into a wallet and is about to make a transfer, if there's a second level of security, maybe a 2FA or an MFA, that is not sitting on the same device, it makes it difficult for that crypto to leave the wallet or the account. So assuming at the point where those guys, because it can be a combination of hackers, sometimes not just one person, you may have a group of 10, 20, 30 hackers working on several accounts. So in a situation where those guys, or maybe just one person, made an attempt to transfer that digital asset out of his account or any wallet at all, if there is a two-factor authentication outside of that device, so maybe it has to send a code to an email that is sitting on that device, he will be getting that code on a different device. He will be prompted. He will know that something's about to happen on his original crypto device. Most of the time, I receive generated codes 15, 20, 30 a day that is not being generated by me. So I know that attempts are being made. Now, you cannot stop attempts as it were, but you can stop the breach if you act fast.
Okay, so how then do you act at that point where you get the notifications? What then do you do?
First thing is to log into your device, right, and check for activities. Like he was live on his wallet and he noticed that thing happen. Okay, so if he gets a notification on another device that is about to happen, first thing to do is perhaps take it offline or study to see the activity that is going on. You may just see someone or something being clicked, like a remote control on that device. If you can shut down or disable transfers. Now there's a particular wallet or a few others that are doing this now. You can disable transfer, or there's even an action you can do. Now there's a particular digital wallet I use, not really for crypto, but for some other things. Transactions cannot happen on a new address until after 24 hours. So if someone wants to make a transaction on that wallet, that is transfer a digital asset or crypto from that wallet to another wallet, it will be pending for 24 hours until I manually approve it. So I have full control over that. That's one measure. Another measure can be MFA, which is the multi-factor authentication. So apart from SMS code or email code, you can now use a Google Authenticator, a Microsoft Authenticator, or a Duo Authenticator. The rule of thumb, the practice is, those authenticating services should be sitting on another device entirely.
Okay, not on the same device.
So that's the error people make, right? So you get a prompt from another device, and it's usually very safe to ensure that the device you are using for your authentication is not even always online. Now, in his case, where he had his passphrase, is sitting offline on, it was sitting offline on his device. That's a level of security. However, the moment that device goes online, the digital footprint gets open. And if they get access to it, they can plant a keylogger. It may even be sleeping at 2 a.m. and the keylogger will crawl all across that device because the device is online. So if you are doing an offline security where you put your passphrase or your private key on another device, let it be offline. The point when you are coming online, you have to really monitor everything you are doing, especially when your data access is beginning to grow. So those are the basics, so I wouldn't make it too complex. Just ensure that you divide your security into like two. So there's a first door, then there's a second door, and perhaps a third door. Sometimes it's a bit not too comfortable to do transactions like that. But if you have lots of volume in your digital wallet, then go the extra mile to just ensure it's a bit safe. So that's basically it.
Lagos, you've heard from our security expert. You've heard from Jude, and you've heard from Etienne. You've heard from Jude Oziegbe and Etienne Okeke, who one was... Why are you laughing?
Leave Etienne alone. Thank you very
what?
Much. Leave Etienne alone.
But they said I should leave him. I'm not holding... It's not like I'm holding him more. But Lagos, you've heard from... You've heard these stories. You've heard from Etienne, whose wallet was, you know, hooped. You've heard from... you've heard from Jude, a security expert, who has taken painstaking time to explain the process of ensuring that your wallet is safe. Now, call us on 0700-993-993-993. Call us on 0700-993-993-993. If you have an experience you'd like to share, or you have questions for the cyber, for the crypto wallet security expert, Judas Oziegbe, in the studio with us. You can also send us messages on WhatsApp, 0809597585. Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the show.
My name is Emeka. I'm calling from Kesu Ekwe.
Emeka, go ahead.
And the one that called last time, talk about that crystal something.
Emeka, we are happy to have you back. Welcome.
Emeka, thank God you
called. I thought that he said that he's wild. You see, most of all those things, we go, I've lived for years before, we work out all those things. We have known that this thing, anything like now, maybe I need something for your office now. Maybe I go to VIA, yeah, ask your office. They say, this is the place. It's very simple. But this one, they will tell his office there for America. It's there for here. So those things, so you put just, you know, since of this world, so you put just the controllers. Even now, sir, for you put the controllers.
America, that's why you should listen to Digital Life for technology education.
Now, the same thing, not be person where the food, the free person. Now, the same thing is, if they're hungry, go free person. Now, the same thing, the same survivor, but I need to survive.
America, you have to really understand how it works, so.
I don't understand anything now. I don't go, I don't see. My own money is still here. So,
Emeka, thank you so much for calling. Emeka is too pained.
I swear.
Oh my goodness. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. Please tell
hello?
Hello. Oh my God. That
yeah, please. Good morning. Please, can I speak with Emmanuel?
Emmanuel is here.
I'm here.
Please, I'm having an interview with him this morning. I have to excuse myself from the church to go to interview. I'm here waiting. Interview is for example.
Yes,
Bolarinwa.
We'll get back to you.
Just shortly. We're rounding up the segment very soon. I will call you back soon.
Oh my goodness. So Lagos, that's the lady who is supposed to be our guest at 11:45.
Yeah.
Okay, so Lagos, we'll take a few more calls and then we'll have that conversation. Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I'm morning to your guests. My name is Yinka. I'm calling from Ilupeju. I'm into health tech and my digital assets are growing. Actually, you know, we have an e-commerce website platform that, you know, the likes of Jumia and all that. I mean, by the grace of God, you know, we're going that way. So I just want to ask specifically, what are the best things to do to secure the website? We have a Facebook page too, and it's been very busy. We've been at it for about close to about 5 years now. So you can imagine, you know, the assets are really a lot. you know, I really enjoy this, you know, but I would just like to know specific things one can do for the website, the Facebook page, we have the Instagram too.
Okay.
Know. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Jude.
Yeah. Thank you, Yinka. So for Facebook and IG, they have two-factor authentication there now. So I think it's a feature you need to turn on so that you can have control of your page. And because it's a business page, I am assuming that you have multiple administrators. So what you should do also, because the human being is the weakest link, not the devices, not the machines, not your servers, is the human being. So you need to do a little bit of basic cybersecurity training for your staff so that they understand that this is the devices they are holding are business devices. And if anybody's attacking or targeting those businesses, they also become points of attack and target. So they should ensure they keep their devices safe when they are going online. Mm-hmm. They should. Facebook is an open marketplace. Instagram is an open marketplace. So in an open marketplace, you have pickpockets. So we also have digital pickpockets that will want to pry into their devices and get into, so when they get into their devices, they can also get into your business page that is sitting on their devices. Another thing from your end on the website, it depends on the platform or the protocol on which your website is being built. You can also provide some safety parameters on your website. If it's a WordPress website,
please move the phone away from it. Keeps interfering with the connection. Yes, yeah. Go ahead.
So if it's a WordPress website or a Joomla website, all these basic ones, there are some basic security that you may not even need to pay for that you can have embedded on your website. So they have login control. So if someone is trying to take charge of your administrative login control, it can lock them out. You can also have some IP that you can disable and a whole lot of other things. You speak with your web admin and I'm sure they'll be able to help you out with some of these things.
Okay. Hello.
Hello, can you hear us?
Hello. 0700-993-993-993 is the number to call if you have questions, if your wallet has ever been hacked before. Call us, 0700-993-993-993. You can also leave us messages on WhatsApp, 080-959-75805. If you have questions, if you deal in cryptocurrencies and you have questions about wallet security, our guest Jude Ozigbe is with us live in the studio and he will answer your questions.
Hello? Hello.
Hello.
Yes. How's it going?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, my name is Bash. I'm calling from Itodu.
Okay.
I want to ask your expert by painting a scenario. If, for instance, a man steals an item and he runs from one street to another until eventually getting to a market where it will be difficult to trace him. I'm trying to refer to the mixer I talked about.
Okay.
But if there were to be a security at the gate, entrance of the gate, and they gave me a kind of tag before he enters or a uniform, you know, easily, once you get there, it would be easy to identify him as the new person who just got into the market. Can't the experts in the industry always ensure that before anybody gets into the mixer, there must be an identity that will be tagged to that person so that once you get in there, it can be identified even after leaving the mixer. So I think it should be easy for them to do, because otherwise it will appear as if they are giving a free way for these hackers to get into the mixer. Once they know that once they get into the mixer, it will be difficult to trace them out. So I think they should work on that. That's my advice and a kind of question to you. Yes, thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. One more call before you comment on that.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hello. Oh gosh. Hello.
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 Yes, welcome to the show. Please step away from whatever it is that is interfering with.
Okay, sorry about that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, my name is calling from.
Okay.
I don't know. I have a crypto. I'm into crypto, but it's been a long I registered, but unfortunately, I can't remember my password. Is there any way around it? I have a blockchain wallet but I could get the ID, but I can't remember the password for that wallet again. I don't know if there's any assistance I can get on that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Jude, please.
Okay, Bash. Thank you for your question. So
you start with the first. Yes, that's the first guy. Go ahead. Yes.
Okay, so in a scenario where a digital asset or a crypto is taken from one wallet and, like you said, hops multiple wallets and gets into a mixer, solutions are actually being provided now to do what they call gatekeeping. So before it gets into the mixer or the blender, in some cases they use mixer or some other place you call it blender. So before it gets in there, the hashes of the different transactions are actually investigated and it can be stopped. But this is also a matter of time. How fast can you observe what has happened and report it to the experts to trace? Because it takes time to trace it when it has gone far, and some people don't log into their wallets regularly. So some may log in maybe after a week, or like is it Kole that just called the second caller? And maybe he's observing that maybe after a week or 2 weeks of this mishap, it becomes a bit much longer for it to be traced. But if you can identify it on the spot whilst it's going on, it may be able to be stopped in the tracks. That's why if you have a digital wallet, observe it, monitor it regularly. Beyond crypto, now we know that our national identity management system is also sitting on a digital wallet. I have a wallet that has my identity card. It's a digital wallet. It can be compromised and somebody can take my identity off the national record. So as you protect your currency, also protect all your identity and everything that has to do with your digital life. The central bank brought the e-naira. They are working on it. They are revamping it. It's also going to be sitting on your devices. So if someone has access to my PVC and has access to my national identity card number and has access to my e-naira, perhaps have access to when Yinka called the medical solution, the medtech, the person can wipe me off the surface of the earth. So we need to monitor whatever it is we have that is now gone digital beyond the money. So if I observe that something like this has just happened, what should I do? Is to call on the expert immediately so that we can start tracing it. We can even just stay along the track and be able to get the person at the gate before they get into the blender. Also, government is working with all these platform providers. That's why KYC, AML, and all of that is going on, so that every transaction that is being made on any particular platform, we can know who is doing that. Years before now, a few school of thoughts were against KYC. But now we have come to realize that every platform provider need to do KYC, because we do not want things like this to keep happening and it will be derailing the good offerings that technology has brought us on the blockchain or crypto. Now, for this second case, right, it also has to do with your personal approach to the devices that you use, okay? Security is yours primarily, not even to be on the safe side, not the provider of the platform, because if you lose, you are the first person that will feel the pain. Like when Etienne lost money, he was the first person that felt the pain. At to an extent, the provider of the platform or the wallet didn't even really feel that pain because it was his loss. So no matter what we say here, what we always advise is you, the user of a platform, ensure you are safe yourself. If you buy a house or you rent a house, it's not the duty of the developer or the landlord to come lock your house for you. It's you, the dweller, the resident there, that should look for ways to lock your house. So your digital wallet is your digital house. Look for ways, learn, listen to programs like this and learn how to stay safe, lock your digital wallet, protect yourself. Do not just click on anything you see online. Now there are multiple WhatsApp groups and Telegram groups that we see, and you see people coming to say, click on this link to make money overnight. Ask any billionaire in any traditional system or even the digital system, nobody has become a billionaire by clicking on any link overnight. It's greed that make many people get hacked. However, there's also carelessness, there's laxity. But if you follow the simple rule of thumbs, don't just click anything. Now, if anything sounds too good to be true, it's absolutely, obviously not true.
That's
so
right.
If you follow those simple steps, I think you can stay safe.
Jude, thank you very much. Etienne, so what do you, since that incident happened to you, what have you done since then to ensure that, you know, that never happens to you again?
Mm-hmm. Just give us your stories, like 30 seconds. We are
so
out of time.
The thing is that it opened my eyes to that side of... okay, you have learned about this, you have gotten this, mm-hmm. but how can you keep it? Right? It's a whole how will I put it? It's a whole area of study on its own, right? Mm-hmm. Just like you have to learn about the Bitcoin. Right? Yeah, so when you learn how to keep it, it's very important. So I have been very wary about security.
Steps now? Jude has mentioned some very great steps. Mm-hmm. Which ones do you use personally to ensure that your wallet is safe?
Personally, to ensure that my wallet is safe, similar to what Jude mentioned, the 2FA things, you make sure that, okay, you get OTPs from your SMS or your email or Google Authenticator. Like, these are the very common ones, especially like platforms that are very important to me. I place this thing on it. Then as a builder that writes code, I make sure that, okay, even on my own part, writing the code, I create user experiences that are very sleek and reasonable for users, and they're also very they can really protect the users of my platform.
Fantastic. Okay. Look, Lagos, we're out of time, but we have to bring you tech of the week this hour, this o'clock. It's 11:48 on the clock. Bolarin Watt tried to reach us earlier in the day, sounded a bit agitated because she, according to her, she had to leave church to try to get on the conversation.
But gentlemen, before we let you go, you can just begin with you, Jude. Just give Lagos, if you're comfortable with your social media handles out here, you know, so that they can reach out to you, so that when they want to sort issues out.
Yeah, Lagos Nigeria Global. We are live on Nigeria E4 FM, and I am Jude Oziegbe. It actually spells OZINEGBE. On all social platforms, I am Jude Oziegbe. So you can find me there, LinkedIn, IG, Facebook, Twitter, everywhere you go. Just check Jude Oziegbe. Thank you.
All right, Etienne.
Yeah, you can always find me on LinkedIn, Etienne Okeke. Etienne, E-T-I-E-N-N-E, then Okeke.
So maybe we'll just take a few more calls, you know, read a few more messages. Emmanuel, I saw some messages on WhatsApp earlier. Let's just take those messages.
Jude is still with us here, and Etienne is still with us. This person says, is mnemonic phrase the same as private key?
Mnemonic phrase, yeah.
It's a combination of 12 different words. It's not a private key, actually, but it's a backup phrase. So assuming you forget your private key, like the last caller actually mentioned, or password, it depends. It's not all providers that have that. But if your provider has that, that's a very fantastic case for you. So the practice should be that you write that mnemonic phrase, or you print it and keep it somewhere completely outside of your device or wallet. So if you forget your password or passphrase, you can now type in. So you click the option of typing the mnemonic phrase. So like I said, it's a combination of 12 different words. So you now start putting in those words in the series that it was shown to you before. So some providers, even before you're able to finally create the account, it shows you the mnemonic passphrase and you're supposed to save it. I haven't saved it or written out somewhere. You now click that you've done that step before you gain access to your device. Now, that means that platform provider, a wallet or an exchange, has taken your security very importantly. So you should appreciate such devs, you know, platform providers, and keep it safe. So there's a scenario where I didn't use a particular wallet for many months. And because I test all these things, so I don't even have them stored in my head. I mean, how many passwords can I remember? Because I probably use like different passwords for different platforms. So I may have like 50 different passwords, and I actually cannot remember all of these. So I write them out. And in some cases, when I even put the password, because of the special character mixture, I do not get some right. But the mnemonic phrase, once I type in those words in the series that I saved them before, boom, I get access to my account.
Okay.
Yeah, so I didn't remember mentioning that. That was a good question anyway.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. You didn't state your name, but thank you so much for that question. We still have another question here. It says, good morning, Nigerian Info. Please, I have more than 50 crypto airdrops in my wallet, but I want to know if these coins can still be of value and my Trust wallet is currently hacked.
Etienne, wow. Please answer that question. Etienne, that question is for you.
Having a lot of airdrops.
First of all, what are airdrops?
Is it the normal iPhone airdrop?
Airdrops are like giveaways, right?
Mm.
So these are, you chase bounties. Probably somebody tells you that, okay, I'm going to launch a token, and if you follow me on IG, follow me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, I give you some of my coins for free, right? It's a brand of giveaway.
Okay.
Because you did some things or you did some actions, probably social actions or tax, right? So you get a lot of those things for free. These are just marketing means and promotion means for some of these projects.
But do they have any real value though?
It depends, right? If the project is successful,
yeah,
and there's value attached to the token, definitely what you are being airdropped is that token. So the token is valuable. We can see the likes of Uniswap, like what happened in Uniswap. It was crazy. Like, I think that was one of the highest so far.
Yeah.
They airdropped people and the token grew so high that it was about $4,000.
Wow.
Right. So some people had multiple accounts. So imagine having like 6 wallets and
wonderful.
For 4K in all of them. Right. Then Uniswap now spiked from $7 or was it $5? It now spiked to like $21, right? So your 4K is like times 4 or times 5.
Times 7.
Like, it's crazy.
Look at that. So, but what happens in a case where a person's wallet has been hacked and he wants to recover that wallet? You did mention mnemonic keys, but what if this particular hacker gets coconut head, you know, and decides that, or more, this wallet is now mine. Is it still possible to gain back that wallet, such a wallet?
So there are many scenarios. Let me come from a medical perspective.
Okay.
So the unlikely incident of an accident happens, right? And that patient is rushed into the emergency ward. So perhaps some things are done, the cardiovascular practices and all of that, and the person comes back to life, is resuscitated, fine. Everybody say thank God. But it gets on that case and it's very, very critical, and triage is done, and even going to surgery and all of that. And at the end of the day, the person doesn't make it well. We all sit and go for life and move on. Also in the digital world, what we need to understand is everything that we see happening in the physical world can also happen in the digital world. So there are some cases where an attempt or a breach happens and it can be stopped. So I've had some wallets that have been attempted before, that even the wallet providers themselves did not provide enough security. But on my own, the moment I noticed it, because I wake up and sleep with my devices, just like Etienne says, I think the first 3 apps I open in the morning is my Exchange, my Bible.
Look at that.
First before the Bible.
Look at that. And these are men that have...
you know, so if you monitor it very closely, chances are you may observe that something is going fishy, something is going wrong, because it's not your regular practice. If you act on it, now the speed of action, of response, is what even saves most devices from getting breached, or most networks. Okay, so when you respond fast, because, okay, so there are some cases where you even have large corporations that do custodial services, so they manage funds for other people, even your normal forex trader. So we have custodial companies that manage money for other people. They call them money market and the rest of them. If you go to such offices, we've been privileged to render some ICT services for them. They monitor accounts 24/7, round the clock. So as you're sleeping at night, there are people monitoring those accounts. If they notice anything that looks irregular, the first thing is to action on it and stop that transaction. If there's any way possible, stop it in the tracks before it gets out. Because most of the time, when it goes out, it's just
difficult.